Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Radio. We're so happy to be back on here this Monday, the 20th of November, 2017. And I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College. We have a lot to talk about this morning on this, it's kind of chilly out, but it is November, so it could be worse. There are other parts of the country getting snow and have been getting snow for at least a month. But here in the Piedmont area of North Carolina, you know, it's just another beautiful fall morning. Cool, but not so bad. We do have a lot to talk about this morning, and we're going to continue here also in part two of how a domestic violence situation can quickly turn into and escalate to an active shooter, something that we really need to be aware of, because many times these active shooters, it really starts off as a domestic situation that happened elsewhere and then has spilled over onto our property, our school, church, and so forth. So we're going to continue in part two later on in the second half of the radio program talking about that particular situation. We're also going to be talking today a little bit about some upcoming things that's happening. And before I really go any further, I also want to announce the launching of our brand new PrivateOfficer.com website. Please check that out. It is really nice. It's very easy to navigate, much more appealing to the eye, and it has a lot more information. If you are a private officer member, you'll also need to get a password to enter the member-only area. Our new enhanced news section, and if you're a corporate member, we also will have a location there specific for you, and you'll need a password. And we'll be issuing those in the upcoming weeks, before the end of the year for sure. So just be aware of that. But we are very excited about this new website design. It's something that took about 6 months for our contractor to put together. And we're really happy with the results, and we hope that you are too. So check it out today. We're going to be sharing some upcoming news with you, and I hope that you have engaged yourself with our newsletter, with all of the different connection methods. We often talk about how Facebook and Twitter are really our two most prominent social media platforms that we use. Please connect with us there. Join the conversations on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, because there's always activity. In fact, our news department posts, dozen times a day, hourly, frequently. How about that? They post frequently. So be sure to follow us on Twitter and join those conversations there on Facebook. We have thousands and thousands of followers, and they're engaged. You can also read our news blogs. And now you can connect everything, everywhere, on our brand new website at privateofficer.com. So please be sure to check that out today. In fact, We're going to go over some of the highlights in the news in the last week, and we're going to be talking about some situations that we're seeing, some trends, as it is, that we're seeing in the news. One of those tragic trends that we saw this week in the news was three security officers that were tailed, followed from their job to their home. A security officer in Chicago was killed moments after arriving home from work. He was shot to death in front of his apartment building. A security officer in Buford, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, a kind of a small town in Gwinnett County, was also shot to death moments after arriving from his second shift job at a mall, where it just so happened he was protecting a rapper during a concert of some sort. And also, a security officer in Miami was gunned down in the front yard of his home. Three security officers in 24 hours. Now, we know that in two of these cases, Chicago and Buford, Georgia, the security officer was definitely targeted, definitely followed from their job. We don't know why. Police are trying to determine whether or not there was some type of confrontation or something that escalated at the job site, but they're not sure. The one thing that they do know for certain is that someone followed them home and then shot and killed them. The security officer that was off duty and killed in Miami, again, they're not sure what escalated to that shooting. And they're not saying whether or not he had just returned home from work, but we do know that he was on his own front lawn. We have seen this in years past. In the 15 almost years that we've had the association, we have tracked a number of security officers killed after they've left their work. Some have been killed in the parking lot of their job site. Some have been killed on the road from their job site to home, and others have been killed at their own residence. And we have tracked the information back, and you know, during the arrest of the suspects, and those situations developed out of situations and incidents that did occur at work. Now, in these recent killings, we don't know. We do not know what caused the situation. We don't think, from what police have said, that it was anything like a robbery. We don't think that it was any type of a mugging or carjacking. These were targeted, at least in two situations. These were targeted security officers that were tailed, followed home, and when they stepped out of their vehicle, that's when they were killed. So we will be keeping a close eye on this, and we will definitely be giving you as much information when it becomes available to us, and we will let you know the outcome. We hope that you listened to our radio program yesterday. Every other Sunday, we do a special program called On the Legal Side. And yesterday, we were talking about whether or not security companies and employers of security personnel are responsible when their security officers are arrested on the job for a crime that they've committed. Over 2,000 security officers were arrested last year, but we were highlighting on yesterday's program several heinous and violent crimes that these security officers committed, including murders. So if you missed that program, be sure to go back to the on-demand button here at the program and listen to that, because it's very important. Later today, as I said, we will be talking more about the topic that we're covering here on the Private Officer Radio. We're going to be talking in part two about how domestic violence situations do sometimes quickly escalate to becoming an active shooter. Although they target their spouse, their girlfriend, or family member, oftentimes other people are killed in those events. Several weeks ago, the tragedy that occurred down in Texas where a person went into a church and killed 26 people and shot 20 others. On that particular day, that did involve a domestic situation, and there were several other killings at churches on the same day that all involved domestics. So stay tuned. Don't go no place. Stay right here. And later on the second half of the program, on the bottom of the program, we'll be talking more on that topic. We're also going to be bringing you some breaking news here in a moment. But first, I want to say, before we do take our first commercial, I want to say congratulations to a number of people who received awards this past week, and we want to recognize those folks. First, Hiram Libby, a security company owner and lifetime member of POI from the California region. He was the recipient of our Founders Award, an award given every year to a member of our association who attains true professionalism, supports our goals and our association, and someone who is a true leader. And Guy Libby, Hiram Libby, is definitely that person. So congratulations to you for receiving the highest award here, the Founders Award. We also want to recognize several other members of our association who also received an award. Dr. Robert Grubb from Nashville, Tennessee. He is a PhD, a former law enforcement officer, a professor of criminal justice, and a huge supporter of the POI Association. And Skip has really been, for all of his career that I know of, in the forefront of public safety, both as a law enforcement officer and as an educator. And I really appreciate Skip's background, his vast knowledge of the criminal justice system, and all of the assistance that he's given us through the years. And he is extremely worthy of this award. And so congratulations, Dr. Grubb, for receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. Two other people receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award, Dr. Andy Smith, also a huge supporter, a retired law enforcement officer, PhD, and educator from Florida. We appreciate all that Dr. Smith has done for our association over the last 10 or 12 years that he's been a member. He is a huge supporter, but not only that, he's an educator of the community. He really gets involved with the community, educating them as to what law enforcement does, why they do certain things the way that they do, and really getting the word out. So we really appreciate all that that he has done through his career, and congratulations on receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award. Also, Officer Deborah Brown from the Cleveland, Ohio area, a police officer and member of Private Officer International, has also received the Lifetime Achievement Award for her many years of dedication and service in law enforcement. And she also is an educator and instructor in community safety and firearms, and she works relentlessly promoting education, and we really appreciate all that she does. And in fact, just recently on her Facebook page, I saw where she has kind of a new career. We're kind of pushing her into that. She does a heck of a job with home improvements, and she posted a couple of pictures of things that she's done recently around the house. And hey, never know, when she retires, maybe she'll open up Deb Brown's home improvements. Never know. But congratulations, Officer Brown, and thank you for your support and your service. Also receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award, Mark Holcomb. Mark is currently not a member of POI, but he is a police officer in Delaware, and we appreciate the support that he's given. We appreciate his service and his many years of also being an educator in teaching as an adjunct instructor, and so congratulations. Receiving several other awards, Chaplain Anthony Boyum. Tony is a chaplain in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a former law enforcement officer who was injured on the job and medically retired. He's also a chaplain with Metro Nashville Police, and he's our chaplain, and he has really provided some great service and helped support everything that we do in the Nashville metro area, and we want to recognize Tony Boyum today with the Chaplain's Service Award. Also, in the Nashville, Tennessee area, we are recognizing Chief Michael Thornhill, the Chief of Security and Safety at the Cumberland University. Again, someone who's been in this field all of his life in many different arenas and a constant supporter of Private Officer International, public safety. He is a great networker, especially with law enforcement and others of like mind. And we have bestowed upon him an induction into the Hall of Fame. And in 2010, Private Officer established the first Hall of Fame for private security and private police. And check it out on our new website, privateofficer.com, and see who else has been inducted over the years. We also want to recognize three others for the Life Saving Award. Chris Montgomery in Austin, Texas, Janice Hall, and also Keith Monday. We appreciate all of those personnel who assisted in life-saving to help to rescue several people were saved during their efforts. So congratulations, everyone, for receiving this round of awards. You can also submit someone who works with you, a coworker, an employee, or even yourself, for something that you've done on the job just by sending an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have a lot more to share with you here on the Private Officer Beat.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat. We want to recognize a longtime supporter and sponsor of the Private Officer International Association and specifically the Private Officer Beat radio show, Body Armor USA. We definitely want to make sure that if you need body armor, if you are in need of any type of protective body armor, body wear, stab vest, that you check out our friends right now online at Body Armor USA. They offer some of the best bullet-resistant vests, stab vest, HVB1 bullet-resistant vests, and other clothing items that will protect you on the job no matter what you do, whether you are in corrections, whether you are in law enforcement, security, and they also offer a special discount for POI members. So call them up today or check them out on the web at Body Armor USA. You too can be a sponsor of our radio programs and our association. We'll be happy to tell folks about your service, your products. Send an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You can also call our offices Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. That's Eastern Time. We get a lot of calls, believe it or not, at 10 o'clock at night and 2 o'clock in the morning, people dialing up our phone numbers. We do offer a 24-hour help desk, but they don't answer the phones after business hours. We are closed weekends and holidays. Again, that phone number is 704-831-8109, Monday through Thursday. Or the best way, really, to get a hold of our office at any time, even 3 o'clock in the morning, is send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, because we do have someone monitoring our emails 24 hours a day. In the news this week, we've already told you about the tragedy of three off-duty private security personnel being killed just moments after arriving home from work. But we also have a lot of other news, and you can get that news by signing up at privateofficer.com. You can get all of our news bulletins, our newsletters, our officer down alerts, and anything else. Sometimes we send out training notices when we're having different training events, and you can sign up for free. It doesn't cost you anything at all, right there at privateofficer.com. In the news also this week, it seems like a Norfolk, Virginia sailor who was working security at a large Navy party has been arrested and charged with murder after getting into a confrontation. Police are saying that someone gave him the stink eye, or he gave a party goer the stink eye. They weren't happy with that. They got into a confrontation. Both he and the suspect was armed, and they got into a gunfight. And unfortunately, this Navy person who was looking to get into law enforcement soon has been charged with murder. Donald Dwight Lee Bowen, charged with murder for shooting that occurred as he was working as security. Police in Topeka, Kansas, said that a kidnapped woman who had been raped and kidnapped was able to get away from her attacker and found a uniformed security officer and told him of the attack, and he notified police and was able to aid in the arrest of the suspect. And, you know, a lot of times when people see security officers in uniform, they do think of them as police. And if not police, someone who can definitely help them. Unfortunately, some security officers think of themselves as police, and so was the case in Spring Hill, Tennessee. This is a suburb just south of Nashville. A woman who was a security officer, Dorothy Bryant, is charged with impersonating a police officer when she was stopped for a traffic offense, and she had the audacity of standing up in court and telling the judge in open court, "I am a police officer. I am a Metro Nashville police officer." Well, unfortunately, she was in her head, but in reality, she was not. And she has been arrested and charged. Now, police are very concerned because they don't know if she's committed other offenses while identifying herself as a police officer, so this investigation continues. In Brockton, Massachusetts, three court officers are under investigation at the Brockton Superior Court, and a mother and daughter arrested for delivering heroin at the courthouse. Christine Lozan, 54, and Tanisha Lozan, 25, are charged with distribution of heroin and delivery of an article or drugs to a prisoner in jail. The other three, the three court officers also could face similar charges once this investigation is included. 17 Atlanta police officers, Atlanta Public Schools police officers, they have their own police force. It's not school resource officers from the Atlanta Police Department. They're actually their own police department. 17 now say that they falsified and cheated on their exams And now there's an investigation. They could be criminally charged and will probably be fired. New Kensington, Pennsylvania, lost one of their own this week. In police officer Brian Shaw, 25, stopped a motor vehicle for a minor traffic infraction, got into a foot pursuit with the driver, and was shot to death. And this is a really sad case. He'd only been a police officer for a few short months with that department. And prior to that, he worked as a part-time officer. And again, it's a sad situation. It does, unfortunately, happen. Teleco Plains, Tennessee. Police there say a man accidentally shot himself and his wife while showing others in church about gun safety. They don't understand exactly what happened at the First United Methodist Church in Teleco. They say that the two were showing off a .380 caliber Ruger handgun, and he removed the magazine. He thought he cleared the chamber, and unfortunately, not so much. In Newport News, a former high school security officer was given life behind bars for a gang murder and also for recruiting gang members. Now, this is one of the cases that we highlighted in yesterday's program on the legal side, and it really needs to be taken serious by security company owners. Here in Newport News, a security officer, Michael Hobson, he was 19 at the time, has been given life behind bars because he recruited gang members at the high school and distributed marijuana on the job as he was a security officer for the high school. In Norridge, Illinois, police there have arrested a 25-year-old woman for assaulting security and police as she was asked to leave the shopping mall for a disturbance, and she got into a confrontation, and she's been charged with multiple offenses. In Indianapolis, Indiana, another accidental shooting. This is by an off-duty police officer working security. He accidentally discharged his gun Friday morning. Police are not saying exactly how that occurred. He was taken to the hospital in good condition. Unsure right now if he's facing any disciplinary actions. In Hall, New Jersey, a Sussex County man is charged with assaulting a security officer 2 weeks ago at a concert. Police have taken him into custody. This news story is very frightening, and we've talked about the necessity of private officers, security, and law enforcement to really brush up on their training and information on drugs, especially fentanyl and other derivatives that are highly potent. In this situation, police, a nurse, and a security officer were all exposed at the Elliott Hospital in Manchester, New Mexico, on Thursday after 26-year-old Theodore Macinas was arrested on a domestic charge and then brought into the hospital where he had some drugs up his butt, including some white powder substance in his rectal cavity. He tried to swallow the substance. Officers struggled with him to take him into custody and get him into control. The bag ripped, exposing that substance to the bathroom and the outside hallway. Six people, two police officers, a hospital security officer, a doctor, a nurse, and a nursing student all almost instantly became ill. They began feeling foggy, nauseous, rapid heartbeat, and high blood pressure. They had to be immediately treated at the emergency room. I'm telling you, any of you out there, law enforcement, security, private police, if you are dealing with people, if you are taking suspects into custody, if you are doing pat-downs, if you are dealing with people hands-on in any way, it is so important that you brush up on your dangerous drugs, especially dangerous drugs from today like fentanyl and other derivatives. I'm telling you right now, a lot of you are going, I don't need that. I got gloves. It goes through the gloves. You really have to double glove if you want any type of protection at all. I'm urging you to get that additional training. In Lubbock, Texas, a man there who was arrested, caught shoplifting, and charged, has now sued for $10 million. $10 million. Also breaking in the news this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee, a security officer working at the North Nashville Jazz Lounge has been charged with criminal homicide, murder, for beating up a patron. Now, this occurred back in October the 15th. Police investigated. They say the victim has been brain dead ever since that incident, and other security officers were also involved. They escorted the victim out of the club when police said the guy began kicking and punching one of the security officers. But they threw him to the ground, they jumped on top of him, they punched him repeatedly in the face and the head, and that caused the victim to become brain dead. There's one thing to, you know, defending yourself, but when you jump on top of people, when you go excessive and extreme, you know, that becomes the problem. Lamar Clay is charged with criminal homicide. That's the security officer who evidently is the one being charged. They say that he kicked and punched the guy while he was down, beat him in the head. We don't know if other security officers will also face charges. Now, in Tennessee, security officers, whether they're proprietary or contract, they are supposed to have the same training and licenses. We're going to be checking this week to see whether or not this security officer was licensed, and we'll be contacting the state regulatory office there to see if we can get charges filed against the club, because this is ridiculous. The security officers getting involved in these tragedies and these excessive force incidents and these gun battles, they need to understand that they need the training, and their employers are responsible. Those employers, they really should face similar charges. So we'll be checking more into that. That's all for this week's news. So we're going to take another quick break. But when we come back, we got a lot more to this program. We're going to be wrapping up part two about how domestic violence can quickly turn into an active shooter. We'll be right back after these, they're not commercials, after these informative messages.
Unfold after a man showed up to the station drunk and admitted to driving there while intoxicated. CBS 3's Joe Holden has the details.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
No pigtails anymore.
Check, please.
David, you okay to drive?
Yeah, I only had a couple drinks. I'm fine.
Come on.
Keys can be a weapon. A few drinks can make you a killer.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio. For the last few weeks, really, since around Halloween time, I guess, we've been reminding you and telling you again that the rest of this year, all the way through until after New Year's, is a very violent time of the year for law enforcement and private security, as there are many robberies, carjackings, thefts. Crime definitely goes up across the board in all areas, no matter whether you live in the big city or the small town. So just be aware. Be extra, extra cautious. Be on heightened alert. Don't let your guard down. It's easy to say, well, it's, you know, we're out here in the country, or, you know, nothing's ever happened here, and yeah, it probably never will. I'm not too worried. I've actually had people tell me that. You know, where we live is pretty mundane, even as a law enforcement officer. Boring. Most of our stuff is routine. We only get a hot call every now and then. And that's bad news for the officer. You start letting your guard down. You start getting stale. You start getting in a routine, into a habit of thinking everything is non-threatening. And that's when you can really get hurt and killed. In just a few minutes, we're going to be wrapping up part two of how domestic violence situations easily can turn into an active killer situation, as we have seen numerous times in the last few months. But first, I do want to remind you that, you know, we know that private security personnel especially do not have a lot of money for training. They just don't have that extra income for, you know, going out and getting training in any specific area. So this is actually a great time of year for you. We have two great offers. The first one is, you can't get any cheaper than free. This is free active shooter awareness training online. All that you have to do is sign up for it. If you haven't received our news alert regarding that, you can send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and say that you want to sign up for it. It's free. It's for individual use only. It is not meant for a company. It is not meant to sell. It is not meant for you to steal the copyright. No, we've had a lot of that over the years and even recently. So I'm letting you know, giving you a heads up. It is free for your use, but not to use for your business or commercially. The other great offer, which is really going to save you a lot of money, right now we have a 2-for-1 special, two online courses where you're going to earn CEUs and a career diploma from Armor College. Again, if you haven't received those offers in your email box, or if you're not signed up already, all you have to do is go to privateofficer.com and sign up, or send an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and say you want the 2-for-1 deal, and they'll know what you mean, and they'll get that information out to you. We are also hiring instructors. If you are a DCJS, a Virginia DCJS firearms instructor in the Hampton Roads area, Richmond, or the Northern Virginia area, please send an email to Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org, or call her Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Eastern, at area code 804-290-4388. If you are a state of Tennessee private security instructor qualified for unarmed and armed, we're hiring Nashville and Knoxville, which includes the greater tri-state area up in the Bristol, Johnson City area, Kingsport. So send your email or resume to the same address, carrie@armorcollege.org, or give us a call at 804-290-4388. We are also hiring an armed security instructor in Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina. Again, just send your email or resume to that same address. We also have openings for an RN, a nurse, to take over the CNA program in Richmond, Virginia. Give us a call, 804-290-4388. We're also hiring a number of OSHA certified instructors. We're hiring a firefighter 2 instructor in Virginia and miscellaneous other positions, including a marketing rep. Send us your resume today. I want to conclude last week's training on how domestic violence can quickly develop into an active shooter if we don't keep a handle on it, if we're not aware of it. Last week in part one, we talked about understanding what the laws are. The laws are different in every state, so you have to manage those laws, make sure that you stay on top of any additions or revisions to the domestic violence laws. Once you understand what the law is in your state and who is and who is not a domestic violence victim and what is and is not domestic violence under the law, we have to stay on top of EPOs or protection orders. Anytime a protection order is issued and one of our employees or church members are involved, we need to have all that information. In fact, it'd be great to have a copy of that EPO or protection order or TPO, as it's called in some areas, temporary protection order, or permanent protection order, so that we know the particulars. If we're going to enforce the law or protect the individual victim, then we have to know, you know, more than just he said, she said information. We need to know what the paperwork says. We need to have a copy of the paperwork. We need to have the document. We should have a picture. We should distribute the suspect's picture or the person who's been given the orders to stay away to all of our staff, to our security personnel for sure. If it's a church, we need to have all of the key players, the key personnel made aware, whether that be the ushers, the parking lot ministry, the security staff, and even some of the teachers that may be involved. We want to make sure that we're in communication with law enforcement. The sheriff's department in almost every state is responsible for serving that executive protection order or stay away order. Police officers can also serve it. You want to communicate with the law enforcement and let them know, hey, you know, we've got an employee who's under protection and her husband or his wife or former girlfriend, whoever it is, has been hanging around, been stalking our employee, our church parishioner, our staff member, whoever it might be. Let them know that they're in the wind, but they're close by. And you want to make sure that when you call 911, should there be a problem, an incident, or should that person who's supposed to stay away comes to the property, you want to make sure that you tell them the person here, the victim, has a stay-away order, an EPO, whatever it's called in your jurisdiction. And if you're going to attempt to detain that person, you want to make sure that that paperwork is in order. So that's why you need a copy of it. I also suggest, and this is very difficult, especially in a church environment. At work, not so much. At work, if you have an employee who's having a problem with a former spouse, maybe a child custody situation going on, or a former employee who still has a girlfriend or boyfriend that works at, you know, that work site, it's not so hard to tell them to stay away. Hey, George, you don't work here no more, and, you know, I know your wife Susie still works here, but, you know, we don't want you on the property, and if you come back, you'll be arrested for trespassing. Well, that's not so tough to do because they're no longer an employee. But when you're a church, and the church is a family, when you're a church member and a member of the church has this type of situation, a domestic violence situation happening, a child custody situation happening, it's not so easy to say, hey, George, you know, I know we used to go out, eat together, and I know we played ball together, and, you know, we've had some great times, but, man, you just can't come back to the church anymore. Susie, I know that, you know, you and your husband, we used to go out, you know, the wife and I and you and them, and we had, you know, great times, but you can't come back to the property anymore because you have a protection order against you. it's a little tougher to do that. But we have to take the firm side. We can emphasize, obviously, we can have empathy, we can sympathize with their situation, but we need to be strict when it comes to protection orders and possible potential stalking, domestic violence type situations. We even need to get the law involved and issue trespass warnings if they just won't adhere to what we're asking them to do. If you allow people to come onto the property, whether it be a job site or a church or a school that don't belong there, and something happens, they beat their ex-spouse up, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, or God forbid something worse happens, like what happened down in Texas, the church, the business could be liable because they didn't prevent it. They didn't at least notify law enforcement. Some of the things that you have to be aware of to prevent an active killer situation from developing out of a domestic violence situation is we want to know a couple of things. Well, quite a few things, actually. We need to have heightened awareness, especially when that person, male or female, is known to carry a gun. That person is an active hunter. That means they know how to stalk their prey, and they could use those skills in this situation. We need to know if they carry knives. It's very important that we understand if they have a tendency to be violent. Has there been violent situations? Has there been abuse, physical abuse, during these situations, during these domestic incidents? We need to also know things like, is he a drug user or a heavy alcohol user? Is he medicating, self-medicating himself? We need to know if he has prior arrest. Well, why is that important? We need to know what kind of character he has. You don't really ever know somebody, no matter how close you think that you are to that person. You really don't know that person at all until something like this happens. And then, unfortunately, the worst of the worst comes out. We need to know as much as possible about our person that may come and do harm to one of our employees or church members. We need to know as much as we can about our opponent. Do they carry a gun? Are they an avid hunter? Do they carry knives? Are they violent? Do they abuse drugs and alcohol? Do they have prior arrests? Simple questions that you can find out either through the victim in this case or even law enforcement. Now, there are five stages to an active killer situation, and these stages often play out. As I always tell you, time and time again, active shooters just don't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to kill a bunch of people. I'm going to load all the guns I got. I'm going to get a few more guns. I'm going to go buy some ammo this morning, and I'm going to go out and just slaughter that whole church. It doesn't work that way, friends. There are five stages to an active killer situation, and it's very important. And trust me when I say it's very important to understand these phases, because these are tip-offs. The first phase is called the fantasy phase, and in this situation, the person who's thinking about becoming a mass murderer, he's thinking about the historical event, the news coverage. He's thinking about how it might play out on Facebook. He's thinking about how his name will be known. And he's fantasizing about how he's going to do it and the glory that he's going to obtain from it. The second phase is called the planning phase. And in this phase, you're going to be able, or your victim's family, or even herself or himself, will be able to know that this person is truly planning something catastrophic. They're going to start planning it. They may even write it down. They're going to think about and maybe even draw out their plan. Who, what, where, when, how they're going to do it. And even why they're going to activate this plan. They're going to give a map in some situations, a literal map. They may draw out their timeline, which door they're going to enter, who they're going to seek out. You see many times in the media these days, teenagers and others found with a list, a hit list, people that they want to kill. The third phase of this is the preparation phase, and that's when they really are going after all of their ammunition, guns. This is when they're really starting to stockpile everything that they need. They make their list. They look at their opportunity. They pick a day, a time, the best fit. In the situation in the churches, they know the churches run from 10 to noon. Why do people come to the church or the workplace? Well, that's easy, folks. Many times during a divorce or a separation, it's not easy to find that other person. They've moved. They've left your home, your apartment. They've moved on. But they seldom leave their church or their workplace unless they really have to. They're always going to be at the church house just like they every week. They're always dependable. They're going to be there. They're going to be at the job because they need the paycheck. So many times you can find them at the work site or the church, one or the other. If you can't find them anyplace else, any time else, most people know that they can find them at those two places. The fourth stage is called the approach phase. And in the approach phase, really what they're doing is that they're looking for finalization to approach the final phase of this active killer plan that they've come up with. And in this approach, an alert citizen, a security officer, a police officer might be able to notice them. They might be dressed up in combat gear or carrying assault weapons or other weapons, and they might be able to be prevented by somebody who's alert. And the final phase is, unfortunately, the implementation phase, where they are blind, they have tunnel vision at that point, and they're going headstrong to finish out the battle. And this is dangerous for security and law enforcement or anyone who tries to stop these people, because at that point they don't see anything except to carry out their mission, and they're blind to everything else, and they will kill anyone who gets in their way. Domestic violence situations, whether it be between girlfriend and girlfriend, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife, there's so many different components to it these days. It's escalated extremely, extremely fast over the last few years. We see many domestic violence situations turn into murder, suicide. Pick up a newspaper these days or read the internet news. It's hard to miss the headlines. Another murder, suicide, almost always, 100% of the time, relating to a domestic situation. Just 2 weeks ago, in an upscale community outside of Birmingham, Alabama, a police officer had a problem with his wife at her job site. I guess they'd been having marital problems, and he went outside into his patrol car. He was on duty. And he put a bullet slug right into his head and killed himself. He could have killed her and then himself. It could have been a murder-suicide in Vestavia Hills, Alabama. But the officer chose to just kill himself while on duty in his patrol car that day. Many, many signs of violence or trouble on the horizon in domestic situations. You just have to be aware. You just have to know what to look for. Domestic violence, active shooters, workplace violence, unfortunately these days, they all run together. And more we're seeing that everywhere. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat. We're so excited and glad that you are listening wherever you might be listening, which we've said many times before, astounds us what countries and places people listen. And I'm not talking about the bathroom. I don't want to know about that part. But people do listen all over the world, and we're just really happy to know that and to get that information. Send us an email, helpdeskprivateofficer.com. Let us know what you think about these programs. If you have a program suggestion, you have a topic that we want to cover, we'll be glad to do that. That's all for today. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.